Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's not just science fiction anymore. A woman gets a bionic eye. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is February 18th, 2013, and we are on day one of Newsworthy Clips. You can find Newsworthy Clips on pages 30 through 32 in your Advanced magazine. And I mentioned at the top of the program that it's not just science fiction anymore, that a woman had gotten a bionic eye, and actually I was referring to bionic because in the past, we had the Bionic Man. We had the $6 Million Man, Steve Austin, many years ago on television and through movies and TV shows. We've had, you know, people that have had, like, robotic parts in them that make them superhuman. And it's been kind of science fiction. But actually, we've made advances in medicine to where now all sorts of different implants are being utilized. Okay, it's one thing to have maybe an implant in an arm or a leg to maybe help heal a bone or some muscles, but this is fascinating what we're talking about now. This is about actually making progress in the ability to give people back sight that they had lost before. So take them from being blind to where they can actually use a bionic implant and actually see again. So not completely there, but some progress being made, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, who's going to talk about it? Not just me, but first, I've got some panelists. First off to my right, Amanda Young here. Hi, Amanda.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Hi, listeners. I'm looking forward to today's just article because I'm a science fiction fan.
Really?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like to see when science fiction becomes real life.
So you know what I was talking about, the $6 Million Man.
The
Bionic Man.
It's a little bit before my time.
I know. You're younger than me. I'm old, and that was on TV when I was growing up.
Right.
So,
right.
But there have been other versions of that.
Right.
So throughout the movies, you know, where men or women, they get parts and they become superhuman.
Exactly. And I've always been fascinated by that.
Yeah. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any bionic parts in you?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet.
Not yet.
Good answer. All right. Carolyn Bug, do you have any bionic parts?
I do not have any bionic parts, thankfully.
Okay.
I don't need them yet.
All right. But you've seen things like this, whether it's not just science fiction, but have you actually seen it like in legitimate news and medical stories? Have you read about this stuff?
Well, not something quite this advanced, but I did have a friend in college who had his leg amputated.
Yeah.
And he had something similar to a bionic leg that allowed him to continue to participate in sports.
Wow, really?
Yes. He broke his leg skiing, and now he skis on his bionic leg.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's unimaginable. It would have been unimaginable 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. If somebody loses a leg, that, you know, that's it. They're going to spend the rest of their life without that leg.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you know, try to make the best of it. But now they actually can do stuff like that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So he participates in runs. He goes running fairly often, goes skiing, all sorts of sports. Yeah, it's very, very amazing the way medicine has progressed.
Yeah, in all sorts of ways. So, okay, well, I'll tell you what, listeners, why don't you do this? Turn to page 30, and we'll take today's reading and break it down three ways. Our first reading will be the left column there, and we'll go down to line 20.
Australian gets the world's first prototype bionic eye. An Australian woman robbed of her sight 30 years ago told recently how she saw a little flash of light after being implanted with the world's first prototype bionic eye. Diane Ashworth, 54, went blind through an inherited condition called retinitis pigmentosa, but had some vision after the device was surgically implanted in a Melbourne hospital and connected up to a laboratory unit. All of a sudden, I could see a little flash. It was amazing, Ashworth said in a statement from the Bionic Vision Australia research project. Every time there was stimulation, there was a different shape that appeared in front of my eye.
Okay, the title of this news clip is Australian Gets the World's First Prototype Bionic Eye. Two words there. We had talked about bionic. How do we define bionic, Amanda?
Well, we have it in our specialized terms, and it says using artificial materials and methods to produce human activity or movement.
Okay, and how would we define prototype, Carolyn?
Well, a prototype is just a full-scale working model of something that's new. So it's not one of our key terms or a specialized term, but it is a very important word for this article.
Yeah. Okay. And a lot of times they'll have prototypes for different things like automobiles or spaceships. So it is it's a work in progress.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a work in progress. It's one model along the way
in
the development of a product. So, all right. Now, how do we begin, Amanda?
Well, we learned that an Australian woman was robbed of her sight 30 years ago. And
what do we mean, robbed of her sight? Did burglars come in and take her glasses?
No, although that can happen. She had something taken away from her when she was young. So we see that here her sight was taken away from her. Okay. We learn later on that it is through a hereditary condition.
Okay, so she was robbed of her sight. She lost her sight 30 years ago. And but then what happened recently?
Well, she told how recently she saw a little flash of light after being implanted with the world's first prototype bionic eye.
Okay. All right, now implanted. What do we mean by that?
Well, if you implant something, here it means to use surgery to put something inside, to insert it surgically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. To replace a part. So, for instance, I had a hip replacement years ago. So, in essence, the part, the hip joint, is actually an implant. So, very common operation to have a hip replacement. Or people might have a knee replacement. Mm-hmm. There's an implant there. The metal parts would be considered the implants. It's something we put inside somebody's body. Mm-hmm. So, but she got the world's first prototype bionic eye. So this is a whole new territory in medical science. And who is this person?
Well, we learned that this Australian woman, her name is Diane Ashworth, and she's 54 years old. And then we also learn how she lost her sight. She went blind through an inherited condition called retinitis pigmentosa. Now, that is an eye disease where the retina is damaged. It is an inherited disease, and often people experience things like night blindness or tunnel vision or blurring of the vision.
Okay, well, there's a couple of interesting things in this first part of this sentence. She's 54. Now, get this. She lost her sight 30 years ago. At the age of 24, she lost her sight. Now, imagine you grow up for 24 years And I actually have my cousin married into a family where his wife, they had this. It's a genetic thing, and his wife, they had about 8 or 9 kids. They had this disease in the family, but they never knew who was going to get it.
Hmm.
Because it's something that comes on, it's unpredictable, and actually out of 8 or 9 kids, 2 or 3 of them did come down with this disease in their 20s. And so it's hit or miss on this, whether it's passed on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you go through life, you're 24 years old, and then all of a sudden you're blind. And you know it's coming. You know it's a possibility. You know it's a possibility. So she lost this, her vision, at age 24. So she had to change her life completely.
Mm-hmm.
You could imagine how that would change your life. Mm. So, but there is some good news we see in line 13.
Yes, but had some vision after the device was surgically implanted in a Melbourne hospital and connected up to a laboratory unit.
Okay.
So it sounds like even after going without being able to see for 30 years, mm-hmm. now there seems to be some hope.
Yeah.
Because she was able to see.
Yeah.
Some, a little.
even something. Well, it's not like she could sit and watch TV, as we find out in the next paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Right. It just says, all of a sudden, I could see a little flesh. Mm-hmm. But she does go on to say, it was amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a step. You go from just darkness or just shadows to actually seeing a flash, a light. And that is what she was able to see. And this is Ashworth speaking at the Bionic Vision Australia Research Project. And then she goes on to say in line 19.
Every time there was stimulation, there was a different shape that appeared in front of my eye.
Mm. Okay. Stimulation.
Yes, stimulation, the process of encouraging something to grow, develop, or become active. And here, it just means that they gave some sort of impulse, something to help her to see, some sort of trigger that activated the nerves so that they would see something.
Yeah. Now, it's slightly different. If I say, that was stimulating our conversation, is that the same meaning?
No, well, in some ways it is, because it's activating or encouraging something to develop or become active. But here we're talking more about a physical stimulation within the body.
Okay, and that often in medical terms we're talking about, they're actually doing something to create a result.
Right.
An outcome. They're creating a stimulation to see what happens then. You know, how your muscles react, how your nerves react, you know, how the electronic signals within you react. So they have to create a stimulation to get an effect. So that's what they did. And let's continue with our reading to learn more about this.
The retinal implant has 24 electrodes that send impulses to nerve cells in the eye, electrical impulses that occur naturally in those with normal vision. In the prototype, a wire from the back of the eye connects with a receptor behind the ear. The receptor is plugged into a laboratory unit, which researchers use to control the information sent to the eye, allowing them to study how the brain reacts. "This is a world first," Surgeon Penny Allen said. "We implanted a device in this position behind the retina, demonstrating the viability of our approach."
Okay, now we learn a little bit more about this implant that they did put in Diane Ashworth, the woman who went blind through an inherited condition 30 years before. And so we're starting here in line 21 with this reading about the retinal implant.
Yes, because earlier we learned that there was stimulation given to her eye, and we learned where that stimulation comes from. The retinal implant has 24 electrodes that send impulses to nerve cells in the eye. These are electrical impulses that occur naturally in those with normal vision, but we learn here that they have actually been lost because of this hereditary disease. Mm-hmm. So she needs something to help her stimulate this impulse of the nerves within her eye.
Okay, and electrode is one of our specialized terms, Carolyn.
Yes, it is the point at which an electric current enters or leaves something. And they give the example of a battery. A battery has electrodes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, as we don't normally wouldn't think of our eye as transmitting electrical signals, would we?
Not usually, but it sounds like our body has a lot of different impulses going on.
Yeah, and we actually do generate these electrical impulses not only within our eye, but then as we go through this in our brain. That's actually how we transmit information, as we will continue to learn in this article. Now, in the prototype, what's going on?
A wire from the back of the eye connects with a receptor behind the ear.
Okay. So we've got a wire that is connected to the back of the eye. So this is amazing.
Right.
This is amazing. If you look at the bionic eye implant diagram there on page 30, just look at the back of the eye. You can see optic nerve. That is where this wire is going to be connected to the back of the eye. And then it's going through, this wire is going through the person's head, through their brain, and connecting to a receptor behind the ear. So this receptor is going to be, of course, receiving the electrical signals, impulses, that are stimulating the eye. Now, the receptor is plugged in to what?
A laboratory unit, and this is where research is used to control the information sent to the eye. And so this allows them to study how the brain reacts as those impulses are going through the wire.
Okay. Now, I want you to imagine there is Diane Ashworth sitting there. All right. Not only does she have this wiring going on inside of her head, but then she is connected to a laboratory unit. It's going to be a bank of computers and things. Mm-hmm. So she's not mobile. It's right. Not like she's going to get up and walk around and go skiing like Carolyn's friend. This is experimental, so she's got to be stationary, and she is actually connected to the units there, the computers that actually will then receive the information that is sent to the eye. And actually, the researchers look at this information, and it allows them to study how the brain reacts. So that's what this is all about. Then this unit that she's connected to will then study how her brain is reacting to these electrical impulses that go from the eye to the ear, then to the laboratory unit. We hear from Penny Allen in the next paragraph.
Yes, she says, this is a world first, and Penny Allen is a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
She says that we implanted a device in this position behind the retina, demonstrating the viability of our approach.
Okay. All right. So she's going to be a specialist, Penny Allen, and she'll be specializing, of course, in eye surgery. And it's amazing that they were able to do this, a world first, that they've been able to do this. So now, when she says that they are demonstrating the viability of our approach, what does she mean?
She means that they're demonstrating the ability that this works, that their approach works, and it can be done again.
Mm, okay. The significance of this is that different technologies have been tried with the eye, on many, many patients. Different technologies have been tried. They have not worked.
Mm.
They just haven't worked. That is the significance of this. So it's not like this is the first try and voila, the thing works. Many, many types of surgeries have been tried. Many prototypes, many experiments have been tried. They haven't really worked well because the eye is so delicate, and actually being able to recreate vision in a person for many years was actually considered impossible.
Mm.
Yeah, because for hundreds of years, it's been considered if you are blind, you're blind. That's it. We can't get this back. And so that is the significance of this. And we actually will talk about something else in day three that people thought was impossible, and that is when people are paralyzed for the longest time. That also was considered a hopeless situation. So it's amazing what some of the breakthroughs that can be made here with the technology, as we will see. All right, let's continue with our final reading for today.
Team leader David Pennington said the results were better than they had expected, inspiring confidence that useful vision would come with a fully developed bionic eye. Much still needs to be done in using the current implant to build images for Miss Ashworth, he said. The next big step will be when we commence implants of the full devices. A complete device would have a vision processor that builds images using flashes of light. It would also have an external camera. Future prototypes would have more than 1,000 electrodes, so useful vision could be achieved.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Amanda Young-Pierre and Carolyn Bug. We're on day one of Newsworthy Clips. Australian gets the world's first prototype bionic eye. Our final reading there on page 30, the right column. And we just met one of the surgeons, Penny Allen, and now we meet somebody else that's on the team, right?
Yes, the team leader, David Pennington, and he said that the results were better than they had expected, inspiring confidence that useful vision would come with a fully developed bionic eye.
Okay, so David Pennington also would be one of the surgeons working on this project, and it's inspiring confidence about this. What's he mean, useful vision?
Well, here I think it would be like motivating people or raising people's hopes that if they are able to make a bionic eye that could be worked in everyday life, that we could see some very good things happening in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right now this is just a prototype, and as you said before, we can't really take it out of the lab. She's hooked up to this machine and can't really move around. But a useful vision or a fully developed bionic eye, you would be able to walk around and function in your everyday life.
Mm. Right. So there's there would be one, the mobility that the patient would be able to have. But also then what we're talking about is after 30 years, she finally is able to see some flashes of light.
Right.
So, and again, like I said, it's not like she can sit there and watch a TV program or a movie. We're talking about flashes of light. And that's just the first step. So it's the first step in this process leading towards useful vision. So, and then David Pennington continues in the next paragraph.
Says, much still needs to be done in using the current implant to build images for Ms. Ashworth, he said. Okay. Just like you mentioned, flashes of light is what she can see now. Mm. But, you know, hopefully she can see outlines of images, shadows, things, like you say, will be useful for her everyday life.
Okay. And Mr. Pennington continues.
The next big step will be when we commence implants of the full devices.
Okay.
So when they start having a fully functional device that they can implant into someone's eye.
Okay, commence. When they start, when they begin, get something, get the ball rolling. So they commence implants of the full devices. Now, so what we had talked about is, you know, we've got this wire going from the back of the eye to a receptor near the ear. So there's probably going to be more technology that they will want to implant within the patient's head. Mm-hmm. So this is just the first step. So that's what he's talking about, full devices. They're going to be adding more technology later. Now, a complete device would do what or have what?
It would have a vision processor that builds images using flashes of light. Mm. It would also have an external camera. So just like you were saying, we've gone from a full device to a complete device using those flashes, just like she can see right now, to being able to build an image of maybe a person or an object. And then they would also have an external camera to be able to pick up what's happening outside.
Okay. All right. Now, to give you an example of the progress that they're looking at and the future, what they're looking at, the retinal implant that they did put in Diane Ashworth, the one that they had connected to her eye, has 24 electrodes. 24 electrodes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it enables her to see these flashes of lights. Go from nothing to seeing flashes of lights. But future prototypes would?
Future prototypes would have more than 1,000 electrodes.
Mm.
So useful vision could be achieved. So they go from only 24 electrodes and seeing flashes of light to having over 1,000 electrodes and being able to have useful vision.
Okay. So there you can see how much more capable the technology will be in the future, enabling them to provide useful vision for the patients. And in fact, the sidebar there, the bionic eye implant, that box on page 30 does go into a greater explanation of what this future prototype may look like. This is not what Diane Ashworth has, but this is what team leader David Pennington is talking about. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Let me have you first, Amanda, read a first part of that.
All right. It says, bionic eye implant. Retinal implant technology mimics eye's natural ability to absorb light and process it into a picture. First clinical trials test positive.
Okay. So you can see the diagram there, the eye, and then how the wires would be connected to the brain, and then also the external equipment the patient would be using. And let's just run through that. First, number one and number two.
Number one, there is a camera on sunglasses which captures an image.
Okay.
Number two, the signal is sent to a video processor worn on a belt which converts the image to electronic signal.
Okay. All right. So the glasses are going to be receiving the signals and then sending it to the video processor that the patient will wear. And number three and four?
Then we see the signal is sent to a transmitter on the sunglasses. And then the signal wirelessly transmitted to retinal implant. And that's stimulating the retinal implant or the retina to emit electrical pulses.
Okay, so this signal is going from the glasses down to this device on the belt. Then it's going, it's being transmitted to the implant inside the patient's head.
Mm-hmm.
The implant is on the retinal, and then it is then causing these electrical pulses inside the person's brain. And then number five.
And then the optic nerve at the back of the eye carries these pulses to the brain, which perceives patterns of light and dark spots corresponding to the electrodes that are stimulated.
Okay, so the brain is then processing these signals that it gets, and it is actually turning these signals into images.
Right.
Images, actually, you know, that the people, quote, see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's all happening instantly. Mm. So this is not something that they have to send over their internet service and get the thing back within a minute or two. This is happening instantly. So now, what about the patients? What can they see?
Well, they can see light, they can see shapes and movement.
All right. And then what? How is this helpful?
They are able to navigate without using a stick or a guide dog.
Okay. Well, just imagine this. We've all seen people that are sight impaired in the city here. And mm-hmm. And it's really difficult. It's really difficult for these folks to get around. Just imagine if they could be able to do it without struggling like that. All right. And who is this all targeted at?
People who have retinitis pigmentosa. And again, as we learned earlier, it is a condition where the retinal receptors are not functioning, but the optic nerve is still physically intact.
Okay. Very, very key point here. So this is targeted at people that have suffered from this disease, but they still have their nerve intact. This is a very key point because often people might become blind in an accident and the retinal nerve is detached. And if that does happen, then it is a situation where they're probably not going to get their vision back, at least today. So, and this technology would not help those people. So, but at least there is hope for folks that suffer this genetic disease, and it's promising. You know, if you were in that case of Diane Ashworth, you'd be thrilled. Any little step would be progress. So, mm-hmm. Listeners, thanks for joining us today for first day of Newsworthy Clips. Come on back for day two. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.